Joe Courtney is a Democrat in Connecticut's 2nd District. Hey, we got a House budget bill. We got a presidential budget. There is some dissonance between them. What do you make of that?
There is massive dissonance. The Congress on February 9th, when we passed a bipartisan budget agreement at 5 o'clock in the morning in the House, with, by the way, a vote total that did not have single party control. I mean, there was not enough votes in the Republican caucus to pass that budget, nor in the Democratic side. And it really did require a coalition to get that done. I actually regard it as a healthy sign that the Congress actually asserted itself to move forward in terms of trying to get a resolution to, you know, this chronic trail of shutdown threats, CRs, et cetera. And it, by the way, did it with a 2-year structure. So it actually set up a framework so that we're not going to have to go through this drama again for the 2019 budget, knock on wood. 3 days later, the White House submitted their 2019 budget, which is, again, just completely out of sync with, what the Congress literally just voted on. And again, it's just riddled with just ridiculous provisions, eliminates the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, eliminates the National Endowment for the Arts, National Science Federation. There's a whole series of agriculture programs that, upper state New York and rural Connecticut, our farmers use that are wiped out in this measure. The education side, they eliminate the 21st century learning programs, which is after school learning programs for, low income distressed areas, which have just tremendous data and proof of success in terms of giving kids an opportunity to go to a safe place after school and actually, sharpen their math skills and reading skills, et cetera. So, as I told the Connecticut Press, the budget book that came over will make a good paperweight on my desk, but that's about as much value as it has, because it just, again, is completely at odds with what the Congress just voted literally about 72 hours before.
Let me ask you a question. You mentioned the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Yeah.
I get mail every once in a while saying you shouldn't be saying the things you're saying on the air because this is public funds, about 5%, by the way, of what we get.
Right.
And along comes the president and says, okay, eliminate public broadcasting, including PBS and Barney, the big Barney fight and everything else.
Yeah.
And what do you think he's up to other than to more fire for the base?
I mean, I guess so. And obviously there's, been an ideological opposition to the corporation since it was created back in the Great Society. There's a great book, actually, which was just published called Inside the Great Society by Jacob Zeitz, who's a writer for Politico, which I just finished reading. And, it talked about, corporation in terms of, being one of the initiatives of the Great Society program. And at that point, it really was about trying to extend some level of alternative programming, particularly for kids, particularly help in rural areas of the country to make sure that, they had access to quality programming. And, you can't have, in my opinion, a broadcasting system that doesn't have some public affairs content to it. And, part of that is that you're going to have, people with opinions that, hopefully are diverse enough so that, you have real conversation and debate. And that's been the case. I mean, going back to the Lehr Report and, the Shartok Hour. And I mean, you guys, that's, you don't have a litmus test, in terms of ideology. You take all public officials as they come in terms of joining your show. So to me, it's a bogus criticism.
So let me go to opioids for a moment. We tend to dismiss it as a society, even though it is a horrendous problem. 1 to 10, how big is it?
Well, I mean, we're seeing it in terms of having a real impact in terms of, fundamental demographics and life expectancy. The U.S. Life expectancy, particularly for males in the U.S., has actually seen a depressive impact caused by premature morbidity that's been caused by opioid overdoses. And frankly, the numbers are not getting better. Connecticut's Department of Public Health just released their figures for 2017, and we are still climbing. And it's even though there really has been, I think, a real sort of concerted effort at the state legislative level and, within the medical community about really trying to change, pain treatment and, improve practices, with our first responders, we still do not have a handle on this. And, one of the things that, as you know, I deal with a lot with the military base and the shipyard down in Groton is that, people were trying to get security clearances, to do, take advantage of some of the new job openings that are down there. I mean, frankly, the drug addiction issues is really creating a problem in terms of, young people having an opportunity to get good jobs. So, I mean, this thing is, it's not limited just to the victims or the victims' families. It's going to have a societal impact. And we really, have to step it up. Again, the budget agreement that was passed on February 9th actually did give a very healthy boost in funding to opioids. And again, we haven't seen the final details because that's going to be part of the March 23rd omnibus that comes out. But, there was real money that the two sides agreed upon. And as you know, this affects red parts of the district or of the country as well as blue parts of the country. Sure. And in fact, the West Virginias, the Kentuckys, the Ohios, I mean, they are just brutally hit by it.
So I got a sports question for you. And then when we come back the next time, we're going to be talking about guns. So let me ask you about the Olympics. What do you make of the fact that, the North and the South got together, they came over, Pence went over, he was supposed to talk to the great leader's sister, it didn't work out. What do you make of that? And you got a minute and 41 seconds.
Well, I frankly give the president of South Korea high marks for, really, in my opinion, reaching out in a way that was not universally supported by all of his allies, including, some of the folks in the U.S. to encourage North Korea to join, the event. And I don't think going to be a solution that's going to probably have a permanent effect, but, we remember the ping pong diplomacy, sure. That took place a long time ago that did open the door to, at least, restoring diplomatic relations with China. And so sports sometimes can have, I think, a real benefit because it is, kind of a universal experience that people have. And watching the Korean hockey team with, athletes from both sides of the border participating, it's a good thing. It's a reminder that, we're at the end of the day, this crisis that's over there, we're dealing with, real human potential harm but whether it carries over, we'll see. I it's a tough problem that exists there. And it's, so far, we haven't found sort of a sweet spot in terms of stabilizing, that peninsula.
It's always great to talk to our friend Joe Courtney, and I mean our friend, Democrat of Connecticut, 2nd District, in office since 2007. Joe, when we come back, I want to talk guns.
Okay,